Our guests this evening, Christopher Fleming and Bill Vail, are here to share their story about dealing with the demonic in their lives. These gentlemen have been tormented and facing the diabolical for many years. Is there hope of ever defeating this darkness and moving forward? Do you live a life in fear that you may involve other people, innocents, because it's easier for them to attack you through your friends and loved ones? How do you even function in a life like that? We'll continue talking with our guests and try to get to the bottom of their story, understand what's going on in their world and how they've continued to move forward, knowing that their lives have this curse, this attachment connected to them. And do they ever see an end? Chris Fleming, Bill Vail, that's the question we'll ask you when we come back to Coast AM. Chris Fleming, Bill Vail are our guests this evening. Bill was featured on an episode of Paranormal Witness, The Visitors. They have shared a story. Their lives have been touched with a demonic force, something hell-bent on ruining their lives. Will they ever escape this? Chris, you thought that you had beat this once when you were a kid and faced it and it went away, but it came back, and it came back with a vengeance and has affected many parts of your life, including your relationships, friendships, and your health. If you couldn't beat it the first time effectively, what makes you think that this time around you're going to be able to get this out of your life and be able to take control again?
Because there's other things that she said that I just don't want to talk about on the radio. And plus, because I have no choice, I could either give into it, which I was kind of doing over the last couple of years, just going into this comatose state of allowing it to take over, so to speak. But then a couple events occurred that made me realize that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and I've been fighting back, and I'm not going to stop. I fought back a long time ago, and, you know, it's never too late. And that's the thing. Can it be beat? Can it stop? Maybe. Or maybe it will always be there because of the type of work that I do.
Bill, with the work that you've been doing, facing this 13 years of dealing with this, and it doesn't seem that it's really given up control of that part of your life, do you see a light at the end of the tunnel? Or are you still just trying to wrap your head around exactly what it is you're dealing with?
I see a light at the end of the tunnel. I don't see it ever leaving my life, although it's like I say, I've been drug kicking and screaming into the paranormal world. I didn't choose to be in it. I was a skeptic. I don't know that I'll ever be able to leave that aspect of it because of my events. I will say that what I call it is paranormally induced post-traumatic stress, and that will never leave. If you've ever been exposed to this, you're always going to have that. Is there something coming around the corner? Is something going to wake you up in the middle of the night? Is it ever going to totally leave you? And the answer is no. I don't see that ever happening. I've never talked to anybody that thought any different than that. Do I have attacks every night? Do I have attacks every week? To a greater or lesser degree, I have some activity all the time. But it isn't the evil, the deep evil that I felt before I had the challenge to it. I have phone problems all the time, as Chris does, and as I told you before, during his show and even during this show, I've had a lot of problems with the phone.
Like what? When you're referring to phone problems, what are you talking about?
Well, I'll have a voice or two different voices come over the phone, or the phone will just get real staticky and not work correctly. I think when me and Chris was talking on his end, it got a lot of reverb, and then you could hear other voices in there. The phone will just drop connection like it did tonight. I had a heck of a time getting on and staying on with you guys. For no apparent reason, it will just go off. And I have one of those recorded, but the other one you can't record. I mean, we tried to record it. It'll record, but it won't play back. It's just dead silence on the playback.
Dave, on my podcast, we played some of these recordings of what these creatures sound like. I have a couple of recordings, and Bill had a couple of recordings, and we played them on my podcast. What was ironic was when I was telling him about when I saw the Lord demon that I believe was in charge of these creatures, and it held me down on the bed, as I was beginning to tell him that story, he couldn't hear me very clearly. My voice was becoming covered up on some type of interference or static. I had a headset going right into my computer, and I can hear myself talking, and I was perfectly crystal clear. So I didn't know what he was talking about. So I just kept going on talking. I said, well, yeah, Bill, it kind of sounds like what I was trying to tell you, is that when this Lord demon makes a sound, it sounds like insects, or like he called it like 1,000 grasshoppers. I'm like, that's the sound. Well, he was hearing something very similar to that while I was talking, which I didn't hear at all, and it's on my podcast. Ironically, it did record, which shocked the heck out of me. But then it fades away as soon as I start talking about the angels came, took him away, and the Bible, and it doesn't just stop. It as if it leaves, which is the creepiest thing.
Now, are you dealing with many different levels of demons in your life, or are these demonic imps that you've referred to, Chris, are they the most prevalent of the creatures that you're dealing with?
Well, here's to answer that. When I saw the show Paranormal Witness about a month and a half ago, I just was thumbing through, and I decided to watch this episode. I DVR'd, and I'm halfway through. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's having what happened to me as a kid and what I had happened, you know, these past couple years in my house. I couldn't even get through it. I called my mom. I called some friends of mine. I called Adam Bly. I was just ecstatic. I said, I got to get a hold of this guy. And him and I, Bill and I, have been on the phone, you know, 3 hours or so, and we've been talking on the Internet back and forth, is that we both believe, and I'll let Bill say something about this too, is that there's a hierarchy. These are like the foot soldiers. You know, when you have ants, you have the queen ant, and then you have all the workers. These are the workers. They infest your house. They disturb your sleep. They try to freak you out or scare you. They mess with you until they wear you down to where you're just so exhausted, just so fed up, and then the Lord demon comes in to try to possess you and take over. Okay? I've seen a couple different types of demons, but I've mostly seen these little creatures, and then I saw the Lord demon, which surprisingly, it didn't scare me. I knew it was a form of intimidation. I was more curious because I'd never in all my research heard of anything that looked like this, never seen anything like this or had anybody describe anything like this. So being in this field and seeing so many crazy things my whole life, I was actually just like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm seeing this, as it's right in my face saying, we hate you, we hate you, we hate you, we hate you. And, you know, I believe that it is in control of all these little guys, because behind it, I was seeing faint images of the little guys' faces as if they were all floating or surrounding around behind this thing. So then I realized, okay, this thing's obviously in control of them. Bill?
Yeah, the perspective I have, and I stick pretty much to the Christian side of things, because it's something that I can make sense to me, is if you go by the biblical part, there are nine choirs of angels, and Lucifer, what he was in heaven, was sent to earth for ego, and he took a third of the angels with him, and those nine choirs of angels, in my mind, became nine levels of demons, or possibly so. And I don't know that maybe these little imp things are just a lower order angel, which became a demon. I don't know that I have answers. I have probably more questions than answers, but that's the one thing that kind of makes sense to me. And I'll say something else about that. We often talk about, you asked, where's God? Why would God let something like this happen? And maybe some people would draw an inference that there isn't a God, because he wouldn't let this happen to us. But I will say that most people believe in a duality in things. In other words, there's light, dark, white, black, hot, cold, those things. There's an equal and opposite to everything. And now me and Chris have experienced the depths of evil. And I will say, and Chris can confirm this or agree with it or not, but to have this kind of evil, without something on the other side controlling it or keeping it in check, it would have taken over. It would have run rampant. So I believe that the other side is preventing it from doing more than it's actually doing. Why it's picked on me and Chris, I don't know. I have an idea that I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. I can't say that for certain, but it's the only thing that makes sense to me as being in the wrong place at the wrong time, interrupting an exorcism, so to speak. But I do believe that there's a hierarchy on the good side and a hierarchy on the evil side, and that there's this little checks and balances going on that keeps the evil from growing stronger than it is.
You know, and Dave, you know, like Bill was saying, and him and I've termed them imps. And why do I say imps? Well, the imp term came directly from a spirit box session I did in my house a couple of years ago. I was doing it, and I said, hey, you know, ghost, you like living in my house? They're like, yes, you know, how many are in my house? And I said, are there any bad spirits in my house? And it says, just imps. And I'm like, imps? What the heck is an imp? So I went and I Googled imps. And if people can go to Wikipedia, and it's these little demons, little creatures that used to be controlled by witches and warlocks. And I'm reading this going, oh, my God, there's actually something called to describe these things. So I started doing more and more research, and I was finding out that there's similar stories. They've been different names under different cultures. You know, some of them call them the Djinn or the Badach. And Pugwachi, what is it called? Pugwachi? I can't even pronounce the darn name.
Pugwachis, yeah.
People have seen these things in England or New England and stuff. And I investigated some of the stories, and it's so similar to what these creatures look like. So they're actually devils. They're little devils run by a hierarchy of a more powerful demon, but we have labeled them other different names, such as imps and pugwachis and badaches and other cultures, if I'm even saying that right. And there's so much more. When you go to every culture, you're finding out in some of the spirituality and the religious stuff that they, and even the myths and legends, that they have a name for these little guys. And that's what's starting to fascinate the heck out of me, that, oh, my God, this is worldwide. This goes back throughout history. So I call them the ancient ones. I said, these things are ancient. The thing is who created
them?
I don't believe God created them. I believe they could be part of the fallen. They could be part of the offspring, or possibly the devil himself made them and created them. You know, I just don't believe that our creator created them. That's my opinion.
Interesting you say that, Chris, because I've thought the same thing, that the fairies and the leprechauns and the trolls and everything you hear in different cultures are all the same thing, just different cultures, different parts of the globe have different legends of what they are, but they're all the same thing.
And think about it. I mean, if they had offspring too, they could be slightly different. They could have wings. They could have all these things. It's no different than we crossbreed animals and we create these different types of breeds. You know, it's quite possible. There's so much we just don't understand. And that's the thing. What I think why Bill and I are coming out and talking about this is, you know, everybody's talking about demons and the devil and everything. Well, it's not so much the devil and demons actually doing all these things to people. It's these little guys that are staying behind, hidden, that are doing all the work, and people aren't paying attention to them, and they need to be more paying attention to them. I'm beginning to realize that some of the paranormal stuff that I always assumed was by ghosts, some of it was not by ghosts at all, but was by these little creatures pretending to be ghosts or making me believe that the house was haunted when it was these little creatures doing it. You know, I do know that there's ghosts. I mean, I've got EVPs of the ghosts yelling, imps, you know, trying to let the other ghosts know in the house that there's imps in the house, you know, that there's a colony of ghosts and these things in the house at the same time. Now, you know, that just blows your mind. It's like, whoa, come on. This is getting way out there. But is it really? I mean, think about it. Think about all the different races, the different species of animals we still discover, and yet how are we going to even try to gauge and recognize the different species of entities and creatures that could exist either down in the earth or can exist in multi-dimensions? We can't. I mean, you look at the drug DMT, Terrence McKenna. I remember listening to Art Bell over 10 years ago, okay, talked about taking this drug molecule and was seeing these creatures come out of the walls. And I'm like, oh, my God, maybe this is the things that I saw, you know? So I've always wondered what it would be like if I took that. Would I be able to see these things, you know, right away because of this hallucinogenic drug? Or could these things be a different type of species, not even related to the imps that we're talking about today? Who knows? But I believe there's so much more than we even could imagine. And whether it's our fear or belief that keeps us at bay and doesn't want to know, so be it. But Bill and I are saying, hey, we've begun to realize that, hey, there's other people out there that have seen these things. And in a way, we're trying to empower them, and we're trying to find answers as well.
If you're both really not afraid of it anymore, I would think that would take away some of its power. Why would it continue to mess with two guys it hasn't been able to break? Why haven't they moved on and started whittling down somebody else that is much more accessible to them?
Well,
Dave, go
ahead.
There's legions of them. They're not short of manpower. And look at it this way. What better conquest than the Pope, for example, to put it at the highest level? What better conquest than somebody that doesn't seem to fear them? The greater conquest isn't the easy victim, it's the difficult.
So you think because you're both so difficult to beat that you're worth more to them to try to eventually break you down?
Absolutely.
Well, think about it. Dave, think about the times at the events and everything else and the people I've done. I was psychic kids and everything, the work I'm doing to empower people about their abilities, that there's angels, that there's a creator, that there's spirits trapped here that we need to pray for, those types of things. They don't want that. I mean, the devil doesn't want that. These demons don't want that. Say, hey, we've got to stop you, what you're doing. We've got to break you down. We can't have you doing this stuff. You know, I mean, I don't do any ghost hunting in my house anymore. I don't do any spirit box sessions or anything because I don't want to attract any of this stuff. I want some peace and quiet. But you have to step up your game. I mean, they've attacked my pets. I mean, I watched a little over a month ago my white Persian slide off of, while she's sleeping, slide off of the dining room table. As she's sliding off the dining room table, okay, keep in mind, it's perfectly level. She wakes up completely terrified and jumps off the table and then goes and hides underneath the table. And when she was a kitten, she got pushed in the toilet and was completely terrified, wouldn't even let me come near her. My newest kitten just got grabbed a few weeks ago and just darted off and was scared for a few minutes, and now she's fine. You know, and there's other stories where this has happened. When I had a case a couple of years ago, a demonic case, where I went and did some prayers for this family that were being attacked by these things in their house, and I did some prayers and I was done and it seemed like it was sealed, it was over with. That night, I was talking to my girlfriend at the time about it. We're laying in bed, and I'm telling her, I said, you know, she goes, well, don't you get afraid they're going to take it? I said, I'm not afraid of these things, just as long as they don't affect you and they don't affect my cat. Well, all of a sudden, okay, we hear my cat downstairs, Noir, big black cat. We hear one of the toys he's with making a sound. All of a sudden, that sound is now, within seconds, now in our room. Well, I have a light sensor that will go off in the hallway if the cat walks by or anybody goes off. Didn't go off. She freaks out because she realizes there's no way the cat can be in this room right now. It's impossible. Turns on the light. There he is in a complete daze, holding the toy in his mouth. And she's freaked out. And I'm like, oh, my God. They just transported my cat from the first floor to the second floor within a second of hearing him downstairs and didn't even affect the light sensor. How do you explain that? That was a complete direct threat. Was it a coincidence? No way. I've got a light sensor in the hall. Always goes off. Never fails. So for me, that was like, all right, they're stepping up their game. They're saying, hey, look what we can do. You know, and there's other things they've tried to do, such as a car, you know, trying to go right at me face head first, try to run me off the road. Just happened a little over a month ago because I was cursing the devil and the things that he's doing to people in some of these cases. You know, they will do that, and it's normal. I've talked to Adam Bly about this. I've talked to John Zaffis about this, that when you step up your game, you get involved in certain cases, sometimes they will come after you to intimidate you, to deter you from doing it, see if you'll break and just give up and stop doing the type of work you're doing, you know?
We'll take a break here. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue learning a little bit about your stories. We'll also open up phone calls in the next hour if you have questions for our guests or if you have experiences with these demonics and what has been successful for you in dealing with it. Stay tuned. More Coast to Coast AM continues right after this. If you're a fan of all things supernatural and the paranormal, then I invite you to join me Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight, as we explore the strange and unusual world around us. Darkness Radio. You can hear us at darknessradio.com. If you can't listen live, we do have podcast versions of the show available for free on our site. Check it out as we continue to explore monsters, myths, legends, ghosts, angels, aliens, monsters, and more. That's all at darknessradio.com. This evening, we're talking about demonic hauntings, demonic infestations, and how these two gentlemen are dealing with them. Bill Vail, our guest, who was featured on Paranormal Witness on the Sci-Fi Channel. Chris Fleming, a world-renowned paranormal investigator, researcher, and medium, who's hosted shows like Dead Famous, Psychic Kids. He's appeared on Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters and The Haunted on Animal Planet. And they've both got in common the fact that their lives have been interfered with on numerous occasions from darker forces. Quick question for both of you before we go to another break here, and just kind of getting a feel for you on this. If people are dealing with this type of manifestation and this type of attack, are there things that they can do to curtail it if they think it's just starting, as opposed to somebody who's into a full-blown attack? If they feel like this darkness is starting to ebb its way in, Chris, how would you recommend people fend it off now before it gets as deeply and entrenched and starts oppressing and trying to possess like it has to you?
Well, there's two things. There's external, internal. And the external is definitely with their faith and their spirituality to protect themselves. But the internal is what we're finding out is people that have come into my life had had some type of addiction. They've had some type of disorder or depression or certain things they've dealt with in their life. And because of that, it will attach itself to them and then get in my house or get towards me. Anybody that has certain things they're dealing with, they have to strengthen, get counseling or strengthen themselves so they're a very strong person inside. Because when you're a strong person inside, these things are not going to bother you. They're like vultures. They will pick on people that are weak, that have problems, that have issues. They'll attach themselves to them. And they will get into their mind and make them do even more of what they're doing or even worse of how they're acting or being. And then they will kind of manipulate and control them by putting them in front of other people that they want to get at. They'll kind of use them in some ways as puppets. I remember it got to a point where we were fighting a lot and in the one relationship I was in. And I remember that I said, wait a minute, you saw these things. You saw the thing run across the floor. And she turned around and says, Chris, we don't exist. And I stepped back and I was like, I was completely in shock. I mean, I wanted to cry like, oh my God, they're attached to her. You know, there's nothing I can do. And then she turns around and I said, what did you just say? You just says we don't exist. She goes, no, I didn't. I said, they don't exist. I go, you did not. And then we argued about that and then stormed off. But I saw that their personality, their anger would fester, and they would feed this. And I thought that sometimes it happened to me, too. If I was angry, I would get more angry. I'm like, why am I getting more angry? You know, there's no reason for me to be angry right now. And it would be they would attack that stuff, and they would amplify it. When there's any type of negative thing in your life, they would sometimes make it seem worse than what it is, or they will amplify it. It's like, I want to say that they don't feed off of it. They're already that. They're already that negative thing. They just amplify it within your life. So if you can stay positive, you can surround yourself about strong people, people that don't have addictions, they don't have issues. Try to keep yourself healthy inside and out. And then, of course, use your faith. They're not going to bother you.
All right, so that's your advice. Now, Bill, what about you? For somebody that might be feeling that there are dark forces beginning at play in their lives, do you have any advice on how to cut that out now?
Yeah, you know, these demons, their greatest ally is denial. People deny them, even when they begin to become afflicted by them. Their greatest weapon is fear. And then they have the patience, which is their greatest asset. So people may not even realize that it's beginning because it is so slow and torturous. They don't just come across and hit you every night. They'll do something, wait for a long time, do something, wait for a long time. The greatest thing I think me and Chris can give people is hope that you can come out the other side, that these things can, yes, they can scratch you, they can push you, they can affect people around you, but inner strength, faith is the strongest weapon. I often tell people, you can have a house full of blessed metals, but if you don't believe, it's not going to help you. So having strong faith, having strength against them, understanding that they can't, let me go so strong as to say they can't kill you, they can affect other people around you, and without getting into the five stages of infestation, possession, oppression, I would say that the greatest asset we have is ourselves. That it's hard not to fear them, but if you can learn that they can't harm you beyond a scratch or a threat or a fear, which is, you know, a lot of people say they feed off of fear. No, they're demons. They're stars are going to be. So relatively speaking, they weaken you, which might make them appear to be stronger. But if we can stand up to them early on, I think we stand a far greater chance of not suffering greater consequence from it.
Right.
Let's take another break. We'll come back with more Coast to Coast AM and talk with our guests further about this. We'll also take your calls after the start of the next hour. Stay tuned. More Coast to Coast with your host, Dave Schrader, right after this. Demonics. Facing evil. Why does it affect some people and not others? I've been investigating the paranormal for over 10 years. I've had strange occurrences throughout my life since I was a child. Why are the demonics not attacking me? Why would they come at somebody like Bill Vail and Chris Fleming? What makes us predisposed to these dark forces? Is it the intention? Is it the place we come at? Chris, you have the ability to see and speak to the dead. You have the ability to have premonitions, and you have many gifts in the psychic mediumistic realm. You continue to investigate, knowing that there is a danger involved. And although you're no longer doing it at home, as Bill has mentioned, sometimes they'll just tag along and you could pick them up elsewhere. Why would you continue in this field and continue investigating, knowing that it can just continue to open up a new can of worms that won't just affect you, but it'll affect the people in your life and that you love and want to protect?
It's funny you say that. I've had that conversation twice. Bill and I had that conversation. I had that conversation also with Adam, that, you know, if I just would have ignored all this in my life, I'd probably be rich and have a wonderful family, because I was in the mortgage business for a period of time. It's always seeing when things tend to go well, something bad happens because of this. Because I believe I have a service, I have a responsibility. You know, as a child, with what I went through, I was terrified, had no one to reach out to. My dad chose to ignore it because he didn't know what to do. My mom, you know, it's just don't tell anyone, you know. And I think it's important for me to talk about it, for me to be strong, and for me to empower other people and help other people when I can. Now, keep in mind, I've been involved in exorcisms as well. For some reason, I'm able to communicate with these things at times, but I'm also able to communicate with angels. And with the angels telling me what to do, telling me this or telling me that, has assisted in some of these exorcisms.
Well, if you work with angels, why aren't they protecting you more? Why aren't they stepping in and interceding?
Dave, that's the thing. Is sometimes they don't do anything, and I question that, because they want me to get stronger. They want me to learn how to overcome this. But when this Lord demon was holding me down, it's not something I really like to talk about publicly because people are so biblical, but with holding me down, she was throwing holy water on me and everything. And I'm watching this thing. All of a sudden, this white light comes, knocks this demon off me. And then I begin to see these white lights flying around the room. And these black masses, these black, like, shadow things, which these little creatures can turn into these black shadow things and take off real quickly. It's like they demanifest but become something that they can travel with quickly. These white lights were coming out and tackling these black masses. And then all of a sudden, the ceiling opened up, which I hadn't seen the ceiling open up since my childhood when the demons came out. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing these white lights attack these black masses. And to me, and I hear this voice, and the voice basically tells me what's going on. I'm not going to repeat some of the stuff it said. But the one thing, as I watched this, you know, I was telling her to be quiet. She's like, what are you seeing? I said, no, I need to see this. This is important. Was I saw angels going to battle to attack these demons. And the voice basically says, we do this for you. And I said, you do this for me? He says, yes, we do this for everybody. And they don't even know what's going on. Is that these angels are fighting our battles for us, in most cases that we don't even see going on. And we're going about our day not even knowing that they're pulling demons off us or keeping demons away from us or trying to protect us. And so I believe that was one of the reasons for me to see this and let me know what was going on. Trust me, I watched this. I'm like, I was in such awe. You couldn't help but be glued to what was unfolding right in front of you. But in the same sense, when it's over, you're like, did I really just see that? And you know you saw it, but you're just like, that stuff that they talk about in the Bible and this and that, and I'm like, how could I possibly be seeing this? And yet I am. So I think there's so much more going on to you know, things in my life that haven't even happened yet that I think are part of this whole thing for why they're coming after me, why they're doing this. You know, and it's like there's a need-to-know basis that you're supposed to accomplish and do things within your life. And if they were to tell you right away, you might not end up doing it or ruining it. So I still think that there's a lot more to do. And that's why I just can't give up.
Do you think, Chris, that the demons are influencing your choices and make, how do I put this, help you make poor choices in the people that you surround yourself with so that it remains easier for them to continue to attack you?
Absolutely. I went to.
But can't you see from a skeptical side though, Chris? And I know you're a skeptic on some things as well. That it's real easy to blame demons and dark for being stupid and just making the wrong choices.
No, I know. I was being facetious. No.
Sure.
See, no, I know I have a responsibility. But what's remarkable that you said that was before Adam had come. I had these three individuals do a circle around me and do this. They went and read my Akashic records, and I was a little skeptical of them too, but. They said something that was just dead on that I had an out-of-body experience years ago, and they basically described what happened in my out-of-body experience and when this angel told me something. So for me, it was kind of like, all right, I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But he went and said, he goes, you make the wrong choices with women because you always want to help them. But the problem is you're selecting people that have issues that these things will attach them to, and it's your responsibility because it's your choice. You need to stop making those decisions in your relationships, and you need to find someone that's stronger, that has a good faith, a good solid ground, that cannot be attacked by these things, can't be influenced by them. So you've kind of been digging your own grave in some ways by some of the people you've surrounded yourself with. So I realized that I needed to take more responsibility, and I just can't go out and try to save every single person I come in contact with. Because that would be my undoing. And I realized.
But yet you said that the angels told you this a long time ago, and these people just reconfirmed that message.
Correct.
Well, so how many times
did. I didn't tell you exactly what the angels said, and it's not something I'm going to repeat on the show.
But you said that they did say that you're choosing these wrong things. And if you've had multiple warnings on this, when will Chris Fleming learn to cut that out?
Trust me, I have learned. You'd be surprised.
Bill, you were starting to chime in a little bit earlier. Go ahead.
Yeah, something to add to that. You asked why would we continue to do this, and I will tell you that, and Chris will affirm this, that we take some risk even talking to you tonight, but if we start letting our lives be ran by the effects these demons have had on our lives, they win. We have to stand up and do our lives, not in accordance with what we believe they might want us to do or to avoid them, but in spite of them, and we need to continue our lives, and we need to continue to try to reveal them and stand up to them, because if we don't, then we've lost. And we run the very real risk of actually doing more harm to ourselves by becoming weak than if we continue to live our lives, stand up to them, and not have our lives altered by them.
But, Bill, isn't that in a sense... I understand the theory behind what you're saying, but the more you shine light on this and the more you talk about this, and in a sense, it's going to spread fear, and it's going to spread fear to people around the world that, well, what happens if this happens to me now? Doesn't that kind of feed exactly what they want? Aren't they kind of getting from you when you think you're standing up and making a stand and being strong and trying to out these things? Isn't that giving them the attention that they desire? Isn't that the whole idea of screwing with you?
They don't want attention at all. Not in that aspect.
They don't want attention.
Oh my God.
And I don't. No. I'm not spreading fear. I'm spreading hope. There's a difference. I'm spreading hope that there's light at the end of the other side. That you can survive this. This is not a death sentence. That these things have limitations. That they can't kill you. So
Right, but right now that's hope that you have, but it's not hope that's been delivered, Bill. I mean, and again, I'm not trying to be rude, but you've been dealing with this for 13 years. You're in a place now, in a home that you can't leave because you're afraid of who else might get that home. You have friends and relatives and loved ones that don't want to be around you anymore or don't want to come see you because of this. So to me, this doesn't seem like light at the end of the tunnel. This seems like you've painted yourself into a corner you can't get yourself out of.
Yeah, but I'm going to say that at all. I'm not dead. I'm not hurt. I'm living a fairly normal life. I actually have met a new girl. We're starting a new life together. I'm the optimistic part of me that is going to continue my life, and hopefully through that give people hope. Because the one thing I've got to say, having gone through this for 13 years, I verbally followed this thing around as it was crashing through my house, challenging it to do something. I've had somebody tell me to turn the lights out because it'll kill me if I do. I did. I turned the lights out. I did that. I challenged it. And I'm not dead. I'm not hurt.
Yeah, see, Dave, there's not going to be people that listen to me. Oh, yeah, okay, now I'm terrified. I'm afraid to go to bed. Look under my bed. Yeah, that's going to happen with anything in this world. Mm-hmm. People are afraid to go to the store, you know, they're going to get a gun pulled on them and everything. Just the way life is. But there are those people out there that need to hear this, that need to be aware, that need to rebuild their faith. But then also people that are having this thing happen and don't know what to do that are listening that now feel that they can get some answers. They can find out ways that they can either improve their life or overcome this.
Like, I'm playing devil's advocate
regarding this.
But playing devil's advocate on this, both of you have come from a long history of dealing with this dark force. Both of you continually hope to see a light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe you guys are a buffet table for these demons. Have you ever taken that time to consider that, you know, Bill, you just said now you've moved on. Now you have somebody new in your life. Maybe that's because they need to feed again, and you just keep bringing them the perfect little meals in these boxes that they can mess with, and then that breaks up, and you move on, and you're still isolated, and now even feel more alone and broken because relationships, friendships, things continue to fall apart. Chris, I've known you for 9 years. Things always seem to fall apart, and they get dark, and you fall into dark places. I worry for both of you because I hear the optimism, and man, I love you, Chris, like a brother. I'd love to see good things happen to you. But
what do you want me to do? Just give up and kill myself?
No, not at all. But that's
but
my question
is that people have done that mm-hmm. because of these things,
right?
Messing with their head or whatever else, and gone and killed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill and I just talked about this recently. I go, think about all the people that have probably died because of these things because they couldn't take it anymore. But Bill and I choose to not go that route. And say, we're going to empower those people that to not give up and to overcome this. Doesn't matter how bad it gets. But then you got people in other countries that are far worse than what we're dealing with. Okay? You know, sure. We're still surviving.
Dave, remember that I said once I had that verbal challenge to this to manifest itself, the events of my life have gotten better. I really believe that it's a gradual spiral downward, but it's also a gradual climb outward. And I'm in that climb, and I wouldn't have anybody in my life if I didn't feel like it was safe at this point. I wouldn't do that to somebody, and I have been single by choice. I haven't dated until I felt like I was at that point because I didn't want to put anybody else into jeopardy. I wouldn't do that.
How do you broach that subject, Bill? I'm just curious, and I don't mean it lighthearted, but, you know, dating is a hard enough job, and when I got to say, listen, I'm a dad, I've got 7 kids, and I'm a paranormal radio show host. You know, here's my baggage. How do you throw onto that? By the way, I have demonic imps and there's possession and oppression in my life. That's got to make things a little tougher on the dating scene.
It does.
Not quite as bad as having 2 heads, I suppose. But yeah.
But then the people that are willing to accept that, doesn't that kind of come off like, well, maybe that's even scarier if they're willing to accept
no,
that that's a real
strong,
possibility?
Dave, that's the thing. It's because they're strong. Trust me, I've had people that have been terrified. I had one girl, like, years ago just scream because this man in a black hat, you know, we talk about the man with the fedora hat, peered beside the bed pointing at her, you know, and Bill kind of explained to me what that meant. I never knew what it meant, and it is attached to this. But, you know, and I calmed her down, and I got her to overcome some of these fears.
Well, we have to take a break right now. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls. If you have questions or your own experiences you'd like to share with our guests, call Coast to Coast now. Stay tuned. More comes right after this.